child, slumped in a seat, was a little boy named Teddy's daughter. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed that he didn't play well with the other children, that his clothes were messy, and he constantly needed a bath. Teddy also could be unpleasant. The other children were unkind to Teddy and would tease Teddy and laugh at him often. It even got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would be unkind to Teddy as well. She would actually take delight in marking his papers with a red Sharpie pen with X's and big fat letter F's. What a devastation. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records. And she put Teddy's off the last. However, when she reviewed Teddy's file, she was in for a great surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher had wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly, and he has good manners. And he's a joy to be around." Teddy's second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates. But he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness, and life at home is a real struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on Teddy. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest. And his home life will soon affect him if some steps aren't taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn. He doesn't show much interest in school. And he doesn't have many friends, and sometimes he sleeps in class." By now, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem and was ashamed of herself for not being kind to Teddy. She felt even worse when her students brought presents one day, wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bows and bright papers. Except for Teddy's, his presents were wrapped in a brown paper bag he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson took great pains to open his presents in the middle of all the other presents, showcasing it. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet, some stones missing, and a bottle of perfume that was only a quarter full. But she stifled the children's laughter when she explained how pretty the bracelet was and putting it on, and then she dabbed some of that perfume on her wrist. Teddy's daughter stayed after school that day, just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." After Teddy left, she cried for an hour. On that day, she quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and instead, Mrs. Thompson began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson, with much kindness, paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The kinder she was to him, the faster Teddy responded. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in class and one of her teacher's pets. A year later, Mrs. Thompson found a note under her door and from Teddy. And he said, "Mrs. Thompson, you were the best teacher I ever had in my whole life." 6 years went by before she got another letter from Teddy. And he wrote, he had finished high school, third in his class, and with the highest of honors, and she was still the best teacher he ever had. 4 years after that, she got another letter saying, while things had been rough at times, he stayed in school and would soon be graduating from college with the highest of honors. He assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best and his favorite teacher that he ever had in his whole life. 4 more years passed by, and yet another letter came. This time he explained that he got his bachelor's degree. He decided to go a little further. The letter explained she was still the best and favorite teacher that he had ever had. But now his name was a little longer. You see, today the letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story doesn't quite end there. There was yet another letter that spring. Teddy said he was going to be married. And he said his father had died, and he was wondering if Mrs. Thompson would sit in the place that was regularly, usually reserved for the mother of the groom. And of course, Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore that bracelet that was missing all the rhinestones, and she wore the perfume that reminded Teddy of his mother. They hugged each other that day, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you for believing in me. Thank you so much for being kind to me and showing me that I could make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me that through kindness, I can make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." Because of Mrs. Thompson's choice to be kind, a life was turned around and changed forever. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, was quoted, "You cannot do kindness too soon, for you do not know how soon it will be too late." Who knows how Teddy's life might have ended up, how it would have turned out, if Mrs. Thompson didn't choose to show kindness to Teddy at possibly the most sensitive time in his life. God commands us to have kindness. Kindness is important and it's very powerful. As we grow in the love that God commands us to have towards one another and strive to become more like Christ, we must take on the characteristics of our God. Today I would like to speak of one of God's characteristics, and that is the one of kindness. In Proverbs 31, the Bible refers to a law of kindness. As a matter of fact, the word kindness in its other forms show up over 100 times in the Bible, depending on what translation that you would use. The word kindness is especially used when speaking of how God deals with us and with mankind. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and I'll read from the New King James Version today. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God." Now let's go back one verse to Ephesians 4:32. One verse back and read it. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God Christ forgave you." Now again, let's go back to verse 1 of Ephesians 5. "Therefore be imitators of God." Have we ever felt or thought about how important being kind is? It's a very important job. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. We read about that in Galatians 5:22. Kindness is an element of love. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Kindness is a virtuous quality that we need to add to our faith. We can read about that in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. What then is kindness? What is loving kindness? Kindness is caring. It's warm-hearted. It's generous. It has concern for others. And it is compassionate. Kindness is about respecting and sympathizing and understanding others. Kindness is goodness in action. A teacher once asked her classroom what the meaning of loving kindness was. A little boy jumped up and he said, "Well, if I was hungry and you gave me a piece of bread, that would be kind." But she asked, "What's loving kindness?" He said, "Well, if you put jam on it, that would be loving kindness." So out of the mouth of a child, we see that loving kindness is just simply going the extra mile. It's not just being courteous, it's actions. Well, it's really warm up here. Hope you like it hot, Mr. Hawkins. Brother, we need to exercise these characteristics. We need to notice the needs of others in good and bad times. We need to help even when it's not convenient. We must not show prejudice as well when we are being kind. Are we allowed to pick who we are kind to and when we do it? No. No, God expects us to be kind to all, even the ungrateful and even to our enemies. This is God's characteristics and it needs to be ours. Let's take a quick look at that principle, see what God has to say about that. Turn with me to Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 35, and we'll read what was inspired there. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He, God, is kind to the thankful, unthankful, and to evil. You know, it's really easier to be kind to those who are kind to us, isn't it? But as this scripture reminds us, we can't just choose to be kind only to those who are kind to us. We must be kind to all. So how can we do this? Well, we can do this with our words. Being careful to always communicate kindly. Not just some of the time, but all the time. You know, how about irritable situations? How about in traffic or waiting in long lines and bad service in restaurants? Does that justify us being unkind? No. We have to be kind in everything, even those little things, let alone all the major things that we accomplish in our life. No matter how what kind of situation we find ourselves in, our reaction should always be in kindness. I know this is easier said than done. This is what we must do. We also must show kindness with our actions. Our actions is what makes our words genuine. It's what makes them real. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Sometimes we always want to feel good about the things we do. And if we're kind, God says He delights in that. And we want to please our God. We want to please our Father. So that's how He blesses us, and that's how we grow in our Christian lives. Let's turn to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9. And we'll read verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So you see here, God delights in kindness, and not just simply kindness, but loving kindness, the idea of doing a little bit more. That's our responsibility. That's what pleases God, because it pleases Him when He does this. We're just a few weeks away from the highlight of our year, the Feast of Tabernacles. And I encourage and challenge all of us that while we're at the feast, we look around and we see all the people. We really see them. Those who may be sitting alone, those who may be held back. You know, I can say this because we've all been there, but we can go and we're excited. And we want to see the people we haven't seen for a while. And a lot of times we get pulled back into little cliques, for lack of a better way of saying it. And that's fine some of the time. But we get to go at the feast time and we get to meet more of our family, our brothers and sisters. And we're responsible to them just as we're responsible to our own children, to our own siblings, to our own parents. We have to grow in that family orientation. So look for those people. Look for somebody different. Look for the opportunity to exercise kindness. Remember the difference it made for Teddy Stoddard? It changed his life. We don't know always what each other's circumstances are. We know more about it in our own congregations. We don't know everybody's when we go out and meet more of our brethren. We don't know the situations they may be in, the turmoil it might have taken them to get to the feast even. But we need to take interest in that. God takes interest in us all. We are all God's children. So let's make this our best and kindest feast ever. And in closing, let's turn to Galatians 6 and we'll read verse 10. Galatians 6. Verse 10. And it reads, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Have a great Sabbath.